I did not find that picture that's up there, I think. That wasn't my idea. But you get the drift. When we get too full of ourselves, then we become like the Israelites in the book of Judges, where, okay, now keep in mind, you have people that had a land. They left that land to go to Egypt because they got starved out of their other land. When they became oppressed in Egypt, they left. They were without a land 40 years in the wilderness. Now they've come into a land, and now it's theirs. And now they're thinking it's pretty cool. Maybe you can relate to that, because there's times in our life when we think, okay, I've got it made now. And then after we live long enough and we have enough experiences, we might realize that that's a good time to watch out, when we think everything is good and cool and we're in charge. But here we are. These people have been in the land. They've really made it their own now, by hook or by crook. But they've made it their own, and now they are in there, and they tend to forget the Lord their God. It is a story that we wish would be an old story that we read about and we can't relate to personally. Unfortunately, I can relate to it personally. I don't know about you. There are times in life when I get too full of myself, when I forget that I am God's servant, that I am to listen to God. We might say that for communities as well, and certainly some other churches anyway that I've been part of could say that as well, that sometimes when we forget that we are God's people and forget to listen and focus on what God wants, we can lose our way. Unfortunately, it's the human story. It isn't the Israelite story. It's human story. And so they have sinned. Even when they came into the land, they did not kill all the Canaanites. God told them to kill them all, and they didn't. And so now the Canaanites are a problem. Well, obviously, we like to keep peace around with those who are around us, and anytime that we're told to get rid of everybody around us, it's difficult. But it's the idea that they did not do what God asked them to do. And so now, the way the Bible puts that story, now because they did not follow instructions, here's the Canaanites. So there's this movement that they start. They sin. They worship pagan gods. They do what the people around them do. They become like everybody else. They lose their identity as a separate, distinct people. And then they become oppressed. So God, the way the Bible puts it, God removes protection from them and allows the neighboring nations to oppress the people. And so in the book of Judges, we have six times that story going over and over. The Mesopotamians oppressed for 8 years, and then Othniel comes in as the judge. Not a big name, not a cool story like some of the judges. The Moabites for 18 years, and then Ehud is the judge that comes in. The Canaanites for 20 years, and then Deborah, and that's a cool story, and so that's a little bit more common. And then we have the Midianites and Gideon. And Gideon reminds us just how much God can use anything, even some crazy soldier with an ice cream pail on his head. But how he was a farmer, and he would say, "I'm just a farmer." And then he was of a insignificant clan, and then he would say, "And I'm the least of them." And God said, "No, you're the one." And then so Gideon got his 32,000 soldiers ready to go. "We'll go get them, God." And God said, "No, you got too many people." And so invite anybody that's afraid to go home. And so many left. And then he said, "Okay, still too many." Why? Because God wanted the people to know that it was God delivering and not their own strength, power, or might. And so they weaned it down. Then the final weaning was whoever stuck their face in the water to get a drink, go home. and whoever picked it up and lapped out of their hand could stay. Well, obviously, if you're picking soldiers, you don't want somebody who'll put their head in the water, do you? So it just makes sense. You can look for enemy if you're drinking like this out of the pond or lake, river, but ended up with 300 soldiers. Well, and you know the story. Gideon was still a little hesitant, but by hook and by crook, and it's a beautiful story. If you read it this week, it just unfolds marvelously, and the Midianites end up killing each other because in their frenzy and confusion, and Gideon becomes a story. A nobody becomes a story. And then the Ammonites are hanging around for 18 years telling the Israelites what to do, and then Jephthah comes. And then the Philistines come in for 40 years, and this is the first time the Philistines give the Israelites a problem. And then Samson comes in, and we know the story of Samson, or read it if you don't know it. A tragic story, to say the least. And I might say that Hollywood writers know the story of Samson well, because a good share of the movies and stories on TV have Samson's theme, don't they? Guy has it all together, gets woman, gets in trouble. Or something like that. But he loses himself. He becomes too full of himself. He says what he shouldn't say. And it's downhill from there. And so they sin, they are oppressed, and then they repent. When it gets bad enough, they repent. Have you ever had that in your life where you sin, you're oppressed, not by another people maybe, but perhaps in a relationship, perhaps by being enslaved to work or a certain income, perhaps being enslaved by just what you ought to do and people's expectations of you instead of your own driving force and God's expectations of you. We become oppressed in so many different ways, and then we repent, and they cry out for help. Repent means, they turn 180 degrees and go back toward God. They had been going away, now they turn and go back toward God, and then God delivers. God orchestrates some kind of miraculous deliverance for the people, and he uses, in the book of Judges, humans to work that out. Who's been a judge in your life? It might be a judge with a black robe. It just may be. It may be a teacher who never wore a black robe but could have, in the role that teacher had in your life. Maybe your judge looked like a very familiar parent, mother or father, or maybe a grandparent acted as a judge in your life, saying, "Now, do you realize what you're doing?" Maybe it was a sponsor. Somebody who said, you come with me. Maybe it was all the people, and maybe it was a group of people, if there was an intervention, and it was a group of people, each one taking part of a judge role in your life. And maybe that is how God got our attention. I believe we all have judges in our life. We all need judges, because we are, of our own volition, we are tempted to become too full of ourself, and we need that person who straightens us out. In 1 John, it says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do we need judges? That's what the New Testament is about. That's what Jesus is about. Jesus is about reminding us that we're not all that we're meant to be yet, but that God still has hope for us. And so the Christ came into the world. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. We break that relationship with God, again, out of 1 John. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so we are called to listen to Christ as a judge and to confess and to say, you know, we really need to do something different here because the direction we're going is not healthy. And then God promises deliverance. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Melinda and I were a little bit surprised a couple weeks ago when we were talking about sin with the confirmation class, and it was hard to come up with any kind of sin. The big ten, you know, those are, at least some of them are kind of easy, you know. I mean, we didn't have any kids who had killed anybody, and so we scratched off six right away, number six. You know, stealing, well, nobody mentioned anything, and yet, even an eraser or a pencil or something like that, that didn't enter into the conversation either. It's a little bit, you know, and none of them are married, so they haven't been fiddling around that way. But then we get to that first one, and it's like, you shall have no other gods. And a person wonders, how well do we do on that one? How well do we as adults do on that one? Well, we need a judge to call us back and say, what is it that you're making? What is it that you've put on the throne instead of Christ? Or number two, what graven image? What image? What are you worshiping, really, at this point? If God isn't number one, then what is number one in your life? And so it's difficult for us to be self-examining. And so we have our gigs, growth and impact groups. One of the ways that we grow is by having someone reflect to us how we're doing. I invite the gigs this week to really look at your process. And are you calling one another to accountability? Are you? And it's great to be nice with one another, but also there is that role that we have with one another, to be one another's judge. Not you live or you die, but to reflect what you're seeing honestly in the other person and people. And so the gigs are very important for that. And most of the gigs now have been that have been in operation have been there long enough that we're very familiar and comfortable with one another. And now we can move on to that next step, that next stage of really drawing one another into that deeper relationship. And if you do not have a relationship with someone, get one. Develop it. Is it possible? We all need judges. And then is it possible that you are the one that's called to be the judge in the biblical sense of someone else? As parents, wouldn't we certainly say that? That we have the responsibility to guide our children in the way of Christ, in the way of life, in the way that leads to a long life, or in as far as the Bible says it, when they entered the promised land, so that you may live long and healthy in the land that I am giving you. Isn't that the role of a judge? And isn't that the role that parents assume with their children? So yeah, it isn't that we can check out of that judge capacity or role. We are, for one another, a judge. One who says, let's listen to Christ. May that be part of what draws us to this table today. A deeper desire on each one of our parts to be drawn to Christ, the one who reminds us that God is a graceful God, does not give up on us, and always calls us to a deeper life, even a life that the Israelites experienced as soon as a judge took over and got them turned around. the same can be for us, individually, corporately, politically. Amen.